Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coy with the Portage County Safety Council, and today we have Dave from Johnson Controls. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Hey, Dave, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Johnson Controls?
Certainly. Johnson Controls, obviously, a large organization known for building systems. My specific specialty is the complex security market, going in and dealing with our larger customers, many of whom have their own security entities, to help them design security technologies that will assist them with reducing their risk.
You know, you gave a great presentation today at the Portage County Safety Council, and I just wanted to cover a few of those topics for our listeners that were unable to attend or those that were here and want to know more about this site control and site security. So one of the things that we talk about, I think would help our listeners, is what is the number one site security issue that you're seeing in the field?
The issue I see is poorly designed security systems. People spending money on things that don't do them any good or spending money on things that are designed incorrectly. You don't have to be a huge company to do a basic security assessment and decide what risk you need to address within your organization. A lot of times, unfortunately, you're going to call your local alarm company and they're going to sell more of a pieces parts type of thing. We sit back and we let them design our security and tell us what we need. Well, they're selling a burglar alarm or they're selling some cameras. Have they asked you what your concerns are? Have they asked you what kinds of problems you've had? A lot of times those questions aren't asked and that information isn't offered. You don't have to be a large company to take control of your security. You can be a small firm. You can buy a medium-sized manufacturing facility, a small healthcare facility. It's your responsibility to see that the security technology that you're putting in place and the policies and procedures that you're putting in place aren't in vain, that you're not wasting your money on things that aren't helping you reduce your risk.
Now, I think one of the perfect examples you gave today during your presentation was the 24-hour manufacturing facility that installs a burglar alarm.
Correct.
The doors are always open. What do you need that alarm system for other than you're paying that bill because you were uninformed?
Absolutely. You know, you've got a burglar alarm system. It never gets set except for maybe, you know, Easter and Christmas, and it doesn't do you any good. You just sit there and spend the money. Meanwhile, your doors are wide open with no access control. You're a 24/7 operation. Have you invested in lighting in your parking lot? Have you trimmed bushes down? Have you cut trees back so that there's a good field of view? Have you put in fencing, things that'll protect your employees when they're going in and out to their cars? Do you have security cameras to record incidents in the parking lot? It's a lot more important to you than a burglar alarm.
Well, I think part of the issue is that organizations assume that the sales company know what they're talking about and they're going to provide them with good information because they build widgets. They don't install security systems. However, to be an informed purchaser, just like a car, you should do some type of assessment. And you call that a site assessment. What are some of those pieces that an organization can do to do a site assessment to better be informed when they go to purchase a system?
Best thing they can do is sit down and list out what assets they want to protect. Number one is always life and limits, always people. And then you have to look at, you know, your intellectual assets, your technology assets, your hard assets. One of the things I mentioned in the interview was a prized item in burglaries at businesses is all of the human resources records, because I can grab, you know, you just compiled everything I need to sell a whole bunch of your employees' IDs for identity theft. You have to sit down, identify the things that need to be protected, and then what serious risk is it to your organization? Is this something that's likely to happen or very unlikely to happen? If it's something that's likely to happen and it's an asset that's of high value, that's where you need to put your money into. If it's something that, you know, you make large steel products that nobody's going to break in and steal one, you don't need to worry about protecting that. Maybe you instead need to protect those employees going in and out at 11 and 3 in the morning on your shift changes instead.
So once you do this assessment, you sit down and identify what your assets are and what you're truly trying to protect, what should you be talking to the vendor about? What type of questions are good questions to ask a vendor when they come in?
Good question to ask that vendor is, have they ever worked with a facility of your size and of the type of facility that you're at? If you're in a healthcare setting or your stadium setting or your small manufacturing, you've got different securities no matter what type of setting you're at. So if you call a company and they're used to putting burglar alarms in houses, and you're trying to protect a growing manufacturing facility with three shifts and a lot of temporary workers going in and out, they're not going to know what they're doing. You have to interview them. Ask them if they understand risk management and risk assessment. If they say yes, and they can talk intelligently about it and understand what you are trying to protect and what your most serious concerns are, consider that company. If they're just in there saying, hey, we sell cameras, but they open up a catalog or show you a webpage, see all the different cameras we've got, walk away. They're selling pieces, parts. This is somebody who's not a security professional. This is someone who's hired to go out and make sales. And before this, they were selling shoes. And before that, they were selling cars. Find somebody that knows something about security.
So for those organizations that are looking to venture down this path of improving site security to create a safer work environment, but the capital budget isn't there, what are some of the cheaper first options they can take as they build that capital to invest?
A culture of safety, culture of security, sitting down the employees and saying, hey, this is our policy. These are our procedures. These doors are to be locked. These doors you're not to use. Watch out for each other. Walk out in groups at night. A lot of things, sometimes we would even tell our teenage kids, right? Door locks and door hardware. You'd be surprised how many times I go to a company that they've invested a lot of money with Johnson Controls to have state-of-the-art, best-in-class access control and video and intercoms all integrated together into one user platform that may be administered by their own corporate security group. And that's fantastic, but we walk up and the lock on the door's broke, so the access control doesn't do you any good. You can just push the door open. So just physical barriers are important. Something I touched on a couple minutes ago as well, crime prevention through environmental design. Get on Amazon, order a book on SEPTED and read it. You'll find simple things like trimming back bushes, trees that are trimmed to a height that the branches are no lower than 6 feet. Things that you can do to make the line of sight better, things that you can do to make your property look more like a place that I don't feel like going and trying to commit a crime there. It's well lit, it's well maintained. I got this gut feeling I'll get caught.
So really, policies and just some housekeeping can go a long ways in that initial phase of creating a safer work environment, along with some education of your staff.
Oh, absolutely. It all starts with the culture of your staff. Again, companies that have invested a lot in high quality security systems, but then don't have policies and procedures so that people don't use them. What good is that investment that you just made? You just eliminated all of the risk mitigation that you've spent money on because your employees are not properly using.
You know, one of the things I truly enjoy while I sit through these safety council meetings is trying to pick out that nugget of information I never knew before. And today's nugget of information for me was fake cameras and your talk about fake cameras. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the liability that they're taking on by putting up those fake cameras in an effort to save a few dollars?
Sure. Fake cameras and to the same extent, non-working cameras. Cameras that you've put up that are not working anymore. I can go get fake cameras almost anywhere. Lowe's, Home Depot, I can order them online. Just because they make them doesn't mean they're a very good idea. When you're putting up those fake cameras, you're giving people a false sense of security. A lot of companies have been sued, and there's a lot of case law out there where they had a camera, a fake camera or a non-working camera, somebody was injured or hurt, the police come, they say, hey, can we have your video? And you say, oh, that's a fake camera. Well, the person who was injured calls an attorney and says, I thought I was safe there because I saw a security camera. You're getting sued and you're going to lose. Stay away from the fake cameras. It's not that expensive to put in some decent cameras these days.
Yeah, you know, that was a great piece. I never thought about the liability that would come. A lot of people assume, hey, I put the cameras up, I'm going to help mitigate some crime by maybe scaring off a few of those thieves that might come on my property, but didn't look at the other side of the coin. So that's a great piece of information for our listeners.
Right. The sad truth is, even if that camera was working, this crime still would have happened.
Right.
But the courts have not seen it like that.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for coming out and presenting at Safety Council and doing this podcast today. Thank you for all that you do in the community. We appreciate it. And everyone, be safe.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.